Hello, everyone, and welcome to another Compliance Week News Podcast. I'm Matt Kelly, editor of Compliance Week, and today we want to talk about a recent federal court decision in New York on e-discovery, in particular, how litigants should pay attention to the search terms they are using when they're delving through potentially millions of documents during civil litigation. In this particular decision, the two sides actually couldn't reach an agreement on the proper set of search terms to sort out the irrelevant documents from the ones they wanted to sort in that they could look to for. The judge ultimately had to referee that issue, and nobody was very happy about that outcome. So now to talk with us about this sort of e-discovery problem is Kevin Ainsworth. He is a partner in the corporate practice at the law firm of Mintz Levin. Kevin, thanks for taking the time to talk to us today.
Thank you.
Now, first question here, what was the key dispute about e-discovery in this case? Was it that the two companies couldn't disagree on what they wanted to search for or the particular search terms that they were going to use, or what was really getting them hung up?
Well, this was interesting because the parties were not disputing search terms for their own records.
Yeah.
There was a non-party company who had records related to the dispute, and the two parties were trying to figure out what search terms that the non-party company should use to search its electronic archives.
Mm-hmm.
The judge was a little annoyed with the parties because they hadn't gotten information from the non-party witness as to what search terms might be beneficial or helpful in these circumstances.
Mm-hmm.
So one party said, we want very narrow terms, search just these few words. The adverse party wanted very expansive terms, wanted to search words that would draw up every email. The non-party witness was in the construction business, and some of the proposed search terms would drop every email that you could imagine would exist in a construction type business.
Mm-hmm.
Things like overrun, for example, or I'm trying to remember specific words that the judge had mentioned. Build, claim, delays, access. In a construction business, that's going to pull up every email you can imagine.
Mm-hmm.
Certainly many that are irrelevant to the issues that were before the court. So the court was frustrated that the parties hadn't communicated properly with each other and with the non-party to get narrower search terms that were more productive.
Now, I know that at the end of this, the judge had told the litigants they should be more thoughtful and cooperative in trying to solve these problems, but that can be easier said than done. So I'm wondering, do the federal rules of civil procedure, do they bring any clarity about exactly how cooperative you're supposed to be or how far you need to go to try and reach some resolution before you throw your hands up and have to go to a judge to see if he can help settle this?
Well, I think you'll find every judge wants to see parties acting cooperatively.
Mm-hmm.
That's a common theme in commercial litigation. The federal rules of civil procedure don't add any more clarity to that. They do require the parties to confer in good faith before raising discovery disputes. Essentially, that's what the judge was saying was lacking here, that the parties hadn't really thought about the impact of what they're requesting and hadn't discussed it with the non-party witness who was most impacted by it.
Mm-hmm. Is this a common phenomena that the opposing parties can't really reach some sort of agreement on what they want to search for?
Common? I guess you could say that.
Or common enough that it has to go to a judge?
I think very few of these disputes get to a judge.
Mm-hmm.
I think that in today's age where we've got large databases that need to be searched, litigants are becoming much more aware of the need to adequately search.
Mm-hmm.
And you'll find one of the things that the revisions to the Federal Rules of Civil Procedure made in recent years was to require the parties to talk about what electronic data might exist and what needs to be done to capture that data, if anything.
Mm-hmm.
Just talking to your own client to find out what they've got and what search terms might be helpful to give a narrow yet sufficiently broad set of results is the first step. And in talking with your opposing counsel about how they're conducting their search and discussing search terms, as Judge Peck suggested in this this case we've been discussing, it all helps to smooth the process and make sure that neither side wastes money or time.
So then last question, what are some of the other difficulties or common mistakes litigants might stumble into while they're trying to set the scope of e-discovery here?
You know, I think the judge in this case pointed out a very good issue, and that is sometimes you have misspellings. You know, if I'm using a lawsuit, here in this one it involved the dormitory authority. If I'm using the phrase dormitory authority and I search just dormitory authority for emails that use that phrase, I might not get everything that was intended to be captured because the users might abbreviate authority, might abbreviate dorm, might spell it wrong. So you really have to think about all the different possible, I guess, variations of the words you're using when conducting searches.
All right. Well, actually, Kevin, that's all the time we have today, but thanks again for your time and your observations. We appreciate
it. My pleasure.
Again, everybody, that was Kevin Ainsworth, partner at the law firm of Mintz Levin, talking with us about some of the challenges of e-discovery in civil litigation. That's all for this week. I'm Matt Kelly, editor of Compliance Week. I'd like to thank everyone for listening, and I hope you can join us again next time.